Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today, including I have a nice little card here that came in from somebody, and it came with an airmail stamp. This cost them $1.65 because it came all the way from France, as you can tell by the Eiffel Tower, which is kind of cool. There it says, "Hey, Wally, Betty Rock, and Gavin. I'm a listener that is an American, but I live in France. I have been listening for 12 years. The other days you were talking about needing to get a quarter at Aldi where you need 50 cents or a euro for carts here. That's why I'm not moving there now."
So a euro is 50 cents here.
Theoretically, no, 50 cents or a euro. Euro is a dollar, basically. It's actually worth slightly more than a dollar, but it's starting to get balanced out. And so I didn't know that that was happening in Europe. I love Europe, but I don't want to go now. Just because if I have to pay for carts anywhere and get them, like, I don't like that.
Just get your own.
Yeah. This was really nice of her, though. She says, so stores give out these tokens so you can use them instead of a coin. So they've beat the system and the stores give them to you. And she sent us these little tokens. And so I'm going to try and see if they work at Aldi.
Oh, that'd be sweet. That'd be great.
It's just 25 cents.
I know, and I know you get it back, but it's the principle.
You're not spending money to get the car. You just, it's a little device, basically.
I always give the quarter away to kids, though, if like a kid comes up and they're like, "Hey, I'm going to have the car next." And so I'm like, "Here, you want the quarter?" Like, they'll have their quarter. I'm like, "Here, you can have mine." I always do that just to be nice.
Wow. You're a hero.
What a gentleman.
I am. I'm very special. But many blessings, Liz from Lyon, France. Nicely done, Liz.
Nice.
Thank you for listening for so long, too, to this show. Let me see. I came across this story that I thought was shocking, interesting, everything. We hear a lot today about how people identify, like, oh my goodness gracious, it drives me nuts. But this is a stat about identifying that really surprised me. Almost 9 out of 10 members of Congress identify as Christian. Like almost 90%.
I feel like it makes a little bit of sense because if you're talking about Congress people, like most of them are a little bit older.
Yeah.
And I do feel like religion is a thing, going to church and being a Christian is something that is, like, again, less popular with younger generations than the older ones.
Well, of the 534 incoming congressmen or congress members, only two of them said they have no religious affiliation. So whether they're atheists or whether they're agnostic, whether they chose not to answer, I don't know, only two did. But the others, 9 out of 10 identify as Christian, which is fascinating.
But don't you think that the definition of Christian has changed?
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
And that's the point. That's a great point.
To me, Christian doesn't mean you're going to church every Sunday.
Right.
Christian also doesn't mean that you don't cuss a little. Christian doesn't mean that you you
don't
listen
even, like,
to Christian music 24/7. Like that, it doesn't mean any of that.
See, that's where I think the problem is. It's Christian in name, but not in deed. Otherwise, we wouldn't have so many jacked up things that our politicians are putting forward. And that they're, if you say you're a believer and you support some of the things that they're putting forward, I don't see that the action matches what you are saying. You know, and so I think. I think we have politically far, we've fallen so far from the gospel, you know, and I think that anybody that is in Congress and how they're placating small but vocal special interest groups, I think that in doing that, they are compromising what they say they believe in their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that is a good thing. And so, it's name only. Historically, though, this is kind of to your point, Gavin, about getting elected. Historically, lacking a religious identity was seen as a political liability. Like, people wanted somebody that went to church and was seen as a good, moral, upstanding person. That's who they wanted to vote in. And then you have all of the incredible moral failures that have happened through our politicians that claim to be believers, you know, and the bar got set so low for morality. Like I always aspired to or subscribed to the notion of, just like here at WayFM, we have morality clauses, like in our employment. I cannot go out and break the rules of the Bible, and I cannot go out and break the rules of the company without having a penalty for that. And I've always felt that if we want to hold our politicians to a higher standard, and we say that we really want religious members in Congress, there should be a morality clause. You know, because if you are going to do these horrible things, or even as much as like cheating on your spouse, if you're going to cheat on your spouse, how much can I trust that you're not going to cheat on a bill, or you're not going to cheat on something else? Like if your spouse can't even trust you, how can I trust you?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we should have morality clauses inside of that. But boy, that would send the world through an extreme hissy fit.
That kind of requirement for people and political office in this world, people would be so upset.
I was taking a nap yesterday.
Good.
And I turned on the TV, and I have Peacock streaming service.
Yeah.
And on there, they have like a Hallmark, classic Hallmark channel or whatever. But it's not the Hallmark movies. It's just classic TV station. And they play like the Waltons and Little House on the Prairie, things like that. Anyways, it was just astounding to see like some of the storylines or the plots of some of the episodes, like in the Waltons. I mean, they're talking about, well, it's Sunday, you got to go to church.
Right.
Or Little House on the Prairie, you know, they stop and they pray for their dad. And it's like, TV has changed,
absolutely.
Where we don't even see that anymore. Just today on the show, we got astounded by the ESPN prayer.
Yeah.
We're like, are you?
That was outstanding.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, and what's interesting, though, is you talk, there's a lot of talk about representation, whether it's representation from race being more diverse in TV. A lot of the representation is from the LGBTQ movement agenda, and they hold companies accountable, like, you're not having enough gay characters, and they go crazy on them, and then they boycott and they do all this nonsense. And it's like, well, what about representation of faith? Like, it's not represented a lot. Like, but we're not out there marching, holding signs and going nuts, you know, and maybe we should take a page from their tactics, and it works, you know.
I don't know.
I don't know that that's the answer either. But, you know, we were talking about historically, you know, having a religious identity was beneficial to you as a politician. I mean, take Trump, for example, and people who are dyed-in-the-wool Trump fans are gonna hate this and probably disagree with me or whatever, but I don't really care because it's actually factual. So Trump used to be a Democrat. Trump realizes, I want to run. There's no space for me there. I can switch to Republican, and I need to have the religious right on my side. So a few photo ops at a church, and all of a sudden he became God's man for many people inside of
it. Was like their
religion
to phrase
it's crazy
to like
to
identify
me
with him.
Exactly. And I never had a problem with people voting for Trump for his political stuff, his agendas, you know, you liked his Republican values. Like, and I'm a Republican. I never had any problem for that. My problem was when it was like, this is God ordained. He is God's man. And my problem in that was a lot of people assigned that to him to justify their vote, even though there's a lot of stuff about him that wasn't good. And it really does come down to this. Like, he's not known for being a religious man. You know, his life did not bear fruit of any sort of engaged, active relationship with God. And the Bible talks about this in John 15:5. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. And there was never evidence from Trump of being super faith-based. Now, I'm not going to sit there and judge his salvation and be like, oh, he's not a Christian. I'm not going to do that. It's nobody's place to do that.
But his
life didn't bear the fruit of that.
But I also think that the standard of our options in the leadership,
right,
you know, place. I mean, like in the White House, like you see your candidates for the president or whatever.
Oh, it's horrible.
You're really picking between which pile of poo you want.
That should be their slogan.
Which pile of poo do you want?
Which one do you want to step in? Would you rather step in this or step in this?
But what I'm saying is that when it comes to, you know, you said that you saw so many Christians like saying like, he is God's man.
Yeah.
I think ultimately it's sad that what it's come down to is that the bar has been set super low for what is considered God's man.
Oh, absolutely.
So if he states that he's against abortion,
Right. And they're like, good enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Then they're like, okay, that's good. Now
he's God's man.
Now he can be cheating on his wife. He can be making flirtatious moves at other women. He can be recorded saying horrible things about women. But it doesn't matter because he's against abortion.
Exactly.
And so I think ultimately what it comes down to is that we just, if you want someone in leadership that has Christian policies, you're not going to find it. So you just have to pick which one.
Yeah. You have to look at their life in totality, you know,
you have to do that, but then you're not going to find
it. I know that's the problem. You know, like, again, it's tough to make value judgment on people. And so sometimes somebody was away. Like, we're all changed people. Supposedly, you know, if Christ is in us, then we should be different people. And so I'm different than I was 20 years ago. But it's like, the thing of it is, sometimes your change is relatively new. And so, okay, go back a year or two. Go back, you know, a couple years and see, does it still bear fruit, you know? Because what you did, you shouldn't be penalized for what you did 10 years ago, you know, if you are a new creature in Christ and things like that. But the thing with him was there just was never fruit that was coming forth that was being bared of that relationship. And again, I have zero problem. I have zero problem with Trump being elected, you know, and I like the way that our economy ran under him. Way better. Now, it was a contentious 4 years, and every day was a fight, and everyone was mad.
It was stressful.
It was stressful, yeah. But, like, I loved what the economy was doing. I'm not a fan of Biden, and I'm not a fan of his policies. It drives me absolutely insane. But I was never the person that lockstepped and made Trump out to be something that he wasn't. I was like, he is a businessman who is going to run this country. He's super arrogant, super egotistical. I could see him for what he was, and it didn't bother me. The thing that bothered me was when people said, oh, he is a great godly man. That bothered me, you know. So anyway, it's going to be really interesting in the next 2 years as we start ramping up, because I read an article yesterday that was talking about Biden finally going to the border, because Biden campaign held Trump accountable for the border last year or 2 years ago and was like, he's horrible and he's, you know, making these people stay in these inhumane conditions. They haven't changed a thing at the border. And Biden's just now going there. What's her face?
Kamala
is a disaster as a vice president, and she hasn't fixed anything there. We have more illegals coming into the country every day now because of this open border policy, and it's just a train wreck. But the article I saw was like, Biden goes to the border, you know, amidst holding Trump accountable, and now he has to be as these two are in the race for the presidency. Somebody's already been like, well, it's Trump and Biden again. Like, how crazy would that be?
That would be slightly entertaining, I feel like, but also not good for us.
Bananas. That would be bananas for sure.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Yes, bananas. Lady Rock, what do you got?
A list of actors and actresses who just couldn't get along on the movie set.
Ooh,
some may surprise you.
I like that.
One includes Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep.
Oh, really?
They were in Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah. Oh, ironically, it's a story of a family getting divorced.
Oh, okay. Well, they are warring spouses, but I guess in one scene that Dustin liked to ad-lib, and in a scene where they were fighting, he actually ad-libbed a slap.
Oh.
So I guess a slap was not called for, but he slapped Meryl Streep.
Oh, wow.
And later, Dustin apologized to Meryl.
I could see her not going for that. I could see like a dude being like, hey, you're not supposed to slap me, much less a woman. That's a crazy, I never knew that.
Yeah. Winona Ryder and Gary Oldman, they were in a movie called Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, Dracula. Yeah.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
Winona said that they got along fine during rehearsals, but things changed when they started shooting, and she actually felt like she was in danger.
What?
That's all we know.
And maybe he was just really good at his character. He was like a method guy.
Yeah, maybe. Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy in Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh.
They weren't even getting along even at the beginning. When Tom showed up to the set 3 hours late, and Charlize led on to him, just was like, I can't believe you do that. This is so disrespectful. And he got right into her face.
Oh, wow.
And she felt threatened by it.
Oh,
so
gee.
She requested protection for the remainder of the shoot.
Protection.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams, they were in The Notebook together.
They didn't get along?
That's interesting. They dated for 2 years in real life, but they couldn't stand each other at first when they met on the set.
But then they dated?
Well, they worked out their issues in a meeting with the producers and the directors, but they said, quote, that it came to a yelling and a screaming match each other, which is interesting.
What do you want?
I'm always fascinated by people that live in that world in their relationships. Like, I want peace and harmony in... What's that face for?
Go and finish.
In my personal life. Mm-hmm. I don't mind conflict in my professional life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could say I thrive on it or I manufacture it. But
you definitely could say
that. But in my personal life, I don't want that. I don't want to walk on eggshells around my wife and stuff. But I've seen so many people, their relationships are volatile and the highs are super high and they are just, I'm so in love. And the lows are knockdown dragouts. And they're like, but that's the passion.
Well,
and I disagree.
And this is where I pull a lot of my wisdom from is an episode of the Andy Griffith Show.
Atta girl.
There's an episode where there's this couple that they can't get along. Like, they're just always throwing things at each other. And Andy and Barney kept being called to this couple's house and was like having to break up fights. And so Andy takes them through this class where he tries to teach them how to get along. And then they're just like, hello, darling. Hello, dear. Whatever. Yeah. And so the couple's getting along, but they still have this aggravation.
Yeah.
And so they start letting it out on other people outside of the marriage. And so Andy realizes, you know, they're just happier when they're fighting. Mm. And so he lets them, you know, just be who they are as a couple. Maybe some couples need that kind of
old
aspect
TV
of their life.
Too had some interesting things. Like, you could have a video, like you're saying, of someone throwing a pot at each other, and they're like, oh yeah, that's his kiss marriage. Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners, one of these days, Alice, boom, to the moon, like he's gonna punch her to the moon, you know. Like, all the things like that you could not do today.
That's true.
Well, there
good
you
times
go.
Right,
absolutely good times. Okay, do you got any birthdays for us?
I don't, but I do have a question.
Go.
This one is from Myra. Myra has a twin, I believe. This is a question from last month.
Okay.
The question is, if you could have a twin, would you want it to be a boy or a girl twin?
Oh, that's really interesting. Because a boy would be competition.
For you?
Yeah. Because you're like... but then they would understand you. Oh, that's a really good question. Well, let's start with you, Rock, because you're an only child. So
I know.
To go from being an only child to being a twin would be like very extreme.
Yeah, I think about like the competition aspect of things. But then I also think about like the best friend thing. Like, for instance, this morning I got on Instagram and I saw where Laura Barlow and...
Oh, Becca or...
I don't know. The two that are really close to each other. Is Allison? No, maybe not. I don't remember. It's the two we interviewed with Barlow.
Becca.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, they're like best friends and they're sisters. They're not twins, but they're sisters. And they get to go on all of these traveling things and stuff. And I think that's so cool. Like, I would love to have a sibling where I get along so well with them that we're constantly doing things together. And as a twin, you could do that.
Yeah.
But then again, if it's a girl, I would say if I had a twin... a twin sister.
Think of all the practice you could have done on nails with your twin sister.
Very true. And
masters.
If I didn't know if I wanted bangs, I could try and talk her into it.
Right.
And see
how it looked.
But
great
then
point.
Again, some twins look the same and some don't. So that's another aspect. Would you want someone to look the same as you, or would you want them to look different?
Identical.
It's creepy. If you had a twin sister and you looked similar, it's just not as bad.
I don't think I would want someone that looked identical to me. But then there comes, like, with the sister aspect, there comes the jealousy aspect.
Yeah.
Like, are you always going to be in competition? Let's say here, me at 37 years old and I'm single.
Right.
Would my twin be married with like 3-4 kids, and I'm thinking to myself, where did I go wrong?
Not if she's loyal. If she's loyal, she waits for you. And you know,
that's not healthy. If I had a twin brother, I think that would be fun because he'd be really fun to pick on, but he would also be one that would be picking on me.
Yeah. I just don't think that like having an identical twin sibling where you were dressed alike would be fun at all.
I wouldn't want to do that. Like, because Haley, my wife, like really wants twins because she just wants to be pregnant one time. Totally understand
that. I don't know if I get that.
I don't want to have like a tie game right off the bat with two kids, two adults.
I don't know, man. It's a lot, but you're right. If you're only going to do that once.
For her sake. Yeah. But I wouldn't want two that look exactly the same and then dress them in the same stuff because I don't want to be like, I feel like a bad dad that's looking at them being like, I have no idea which one you are.
Yeah.
You know what's really weird is I worked at a daycare and I had twins in my class, Aubrey and Avery. And
that doesn't help.
Aubrey and Avery.
Wait, how did they spell it like different?
Take a U out.
There's a U in one and there's not in the other.
That's it.
That's wrong.
And a lot of people couldn't tell the difference between the two. But the more you work with them or the more you raise them, you live with them, the more you're going to see a difference. Sure. And to me, they looked different even though they were identical.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll come to you.
I guess the only reason for having a cool thing of having a identical twin is you could commit like the perfect crime and blame them and pin it on them.
Wouldn't you have the same? Yeah. Do you have the same like
DNA?
DNA, like the same like thumbprint? Like, would you have all that same stuff? I forget how that works.
I think the DNA
everybody's fingerprints are, if you're identical.
Yeah. But I think there's something really weird about how close the DNA is in identical twins.
Identical twins.
Do they have the same DNA?
The same DNA.
Because I feel like this is a storyline that's been used in
identical
a movie.
Twins share the same genomes and are always, in contrast for two separate, that's not telling me anything.
Ugh, Google.
Are identical twins genetically 100% the same? Oh, sorry, guys. Still getting over that cold. Yeah. Not to be, tends not to be 100% identical.
Sure.
So that would mean that you can't get away with the perfect crime.
Well, it's not 100%. You couldn't leave any DNA at the scene. You just have to, it'd have to all be like circumstantial
evidence. Every criminal is trying not to leave DNA at the scene. That doesn't mean that they won't.
They're not dropping hair just for the fun of it.
And then Google says identical twins do not have matching fingerprints.
Okay, see, that is the interesting
one. See, the Lord was thinking before, you know, this all came around. He's like, I know that there's going to be twins out there. That one's going to be bad and the other one's going to be good.
Yeah.
So y'all didn't answer the question. Would you want a twin sister or
twin
brother?
Twin sister.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
You have more sisters than, because you...
Yeah, I have three sisters and one brother.
Why would you choose sister then?
Just because I didn't want to be put in the same clothes as my irony. My mom would probably put me in the same clothes as my twin sister. That makes it even worse. Because I wouldn't want to go through life being that identical twin. And you're always like, oh, we're the twins. We're the twins. We're the twins. You know, and every same birthday every time. Like, it would kind of be a bummer, I think.
Yeah, but I don't really hear a lot of identical twins saying that they don't like it.
No, they
if
love
anything,
it for
they're
the
like,
most part.
It's a born in best friend.
Yeah, like a lot of people love it. I'm a solitary being. I'm a lone wolf, and so I probably so would have cool. I would have absorbed my twin in the womb. You all right there, Rock?
Yeah.
What about you, Gavin?
I think I would just go with the brother, just because I feel like the way that I lean towards just friendships and relationships, like I lean towards finding like guy friends, and if I do have friends that are girls, they're just the wives of my guy friends. Yeah. And so I feel like the things I like to do would probably be with like a brother type figure. And it's stuff that I could theoretically do with my brother.
Could, like, but cheer sports teams on.
Yeah.
Together.
It's like, because my brother just didn't, and there's no guarantee that having a twin brother would mean he would do
like
everything.
You.
Hopefully he would.
Yeah, he'd be into so many different things. Or if you had a twin brother, Wally, and he was all into sports and you were over, you had like long hair and the crop top.
Just talking about his truth all the
Why
time.
Why am I wearing a crop top?
Because that's what you did. Ask yourself that question. Back in the 80s, that's what you were doing.
It
people would be like, oh, you had
top.
A twin sister. No, it's a
that's
brother.
Fair. That sadly
was
that
a
is
crop
fair.
Top. Your belly was showing.
No, it was a regular button-down shirt, but it was tied at the waist. So,
okay, do you feel
Why
better
would you
about
do that?
That?
I do feel better than a crop top. That's far different.
It's still bad.
Yeah. Well, it's rock and roll. What are you gonna do? You guys don't
know. Okay. Yeah. What are you?
You guys don't.
I don't want to know.
You guys didn't live the rock and roll lifestyle. That's
Thank goodness.
On you.
Oh, cool. All right, guys. Well, as always, thanks for being a body.